Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra Members Association and Fairfax Education Association. We appreciate their support. Joining me today, we've got Tom Balia. Tom, welcome back.
It's nice to be on the air with you, Charles.
Tom, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Alan Kukovich is at an undisclosed location involving wine, women, and song or something. I don't know. I just, you know.
That wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me, especially the song part of that.
Yes, yes, yes. And in any case, so, Tom, what's your take on what's been happening this week?
Well, I mean, obviously the issue with North Korea has taken a lot of our attention away from our domestic issues, and it's always dangerous when you have reckless, potentially reckless leaders making belligerent statements towards one another. In a nuclear age, it's something that should be off limits completely, but we haven't evolved yet to that level. So there should be concern that we don't do something that creates a major problem. I don't know if it would affect us directly in North America, but it could affect our friends in other countries, our citizens in places like Guam, in Hawaii. So hopefully cooler heads will prevail. And it's a dicey situation, as you know, with other countries getting nuclear weapons.
But Tom, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Congress saying that they want the President of the United States to consult them before he or she, the President of the United States, initiates a preemptive nuclear attack? I've never heard that before, but we're hearing that now.
Well, I think that with this president, we should have them be consulted, because hopefully they would keep him from doing that. I mean, the repercussions of that are just too dangerous. Seoul, South Korea, is not that far from the border,
right?
North and south. The consequences of that type of devastation is, well, we've seen that, sadly, we've seen them, in the two cities bombed in Japan. And those types of rudimentary bombs were far beyond that capability, so the devastation would be worse.
Right.
So I hope that's not the case. And, I mean, you know, we've gone kind of through this issue with Iran recently, and they're probably far more advanced and developed than North Korea is. But let me ask you this question. How do we determine on this planet which countries have the right to have nuclear weapons and which ones don't?
That's an esoteric question that, I'm probably not prepared to...
I know. My point is that we've obviously the superpowers had them, and then sort of the England and France and them, but then Israel has them, Pakistan has them. So, you know, there are countries that could be looked on as potentially dangerous to use them, have them. Where do you draw the line? I mean, I think this guy in North Korea is nuts and dangerous.
Well,
however,
you know,
I don't know if he would ever use them any more than anyone else would, because he knows what the consequences are.
Right. Well, Tom, one of the things that you forget is Kim Il-jong, the current leader of North Korea, was raised and educated in Switzerland. Okay. He knows what the West is like. He lived here in the West. He went to school here in the West. He grew up here. This rhetoric going back and forth is concerning. I'm hoping that we have cooler heads with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But I got to tell you, even a non-nuclear exchange with North Korea the artillery that they have mounted just north of the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, is enough to kill about 100,000 people in the first half hour. Even if it's non-nuclear, what are we talking about?
I know. That's what I'm saying. There are serious consequences. And, I mean, you know, we take this adversarial position, but the South Koreans have a much more imminent stake in it. I don't know how hardline they are in it or if they're trying to get cool. I'm sure they don't want any kind of non-nuclear or nuclear attacks. They're just this type of situation, because of who we have president right now, it takes on a different perspective, I think. And that's the concern for me. I mean, say what you want about George W. Bush or Reagan or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, none of them, I think, would have ever started something very recklessly. Donald Trump, we don't know. I mean, this guy's, you know, his first 200 days or whatever days he's been in office now have been very, very erratic. We don't know if he has any real grasp or a desire to understand the consequences. It seems like his grasp on reality beyond our borders is very limited. So people should be, I'd say, more concerned now than if we had a different president.
I tend to agree with you. But at the same time, I'm also saying, now that he's dangling this bright, shiny ball over here, what's he doing with the other hand?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. And, I mean, our domestic issues are, I mean, his ineptness in understanding even pushing a legislative agenda means it's kind of up to Congress, and they've walked away recently with their failure on health care. Now he's kind of, you know, picking a fight with McConnell. So you don't know how willing Congress is going to be to run with his agenda, their own. Of course, they will be when they come back. But, another story that happened, and even though I think the actual raid took place a couple weeks ago, the FBI raid, the story broke that they raided Paul Manafort's house this week, which I think is obviously ratchets up the level of seriousness about what's going on with the investigation.
I agree, and I think that raid at Manafort's house also increases the pucker factor for everybody else involved. You know, we've got General Flynn already saying, I'm ready to testify. I'm ready to testify. Pick me, pick me. Apparently, Mr. Manafort either didn't include everything he should have or wasn't as forthcoming as he should have been. And the FBI sent a message not only to him, but to everybody else that's involved.
That's right. And interesting enough, it was a no-knock search warrant, which means usually used in cases where they think somebody would, if they got the knock, would be destroying information or evidence before they came through the door. So a no-knock kind of shows the seriousness of the issue for them. So, yeah, and I mean, obviously we know the strange relationship that Paul Manafort is hired by Putin to pay $10 million to improve his image around the world, and then volunteers to be the campaign chairman of Donald Trump's campaign with having never been involved in a political campaign prior to that. Coincidental, but it's a strange coincidence.
Tom?
Yes?
It's amazing how many people have been picked for the Trump campaign that had no experience with Trump before, are doing things that they haven't done before, but were highly recommended by Vladimir Putin. Time to take a break, Tom. We'll come back. We'll talk about that and some other things. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately, so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Right now we're talking with Tom Balliot. Tom, welcome back.
Nice to be on the air with you, Charles. You know, I wanted to go back to your comment about North Korea's leader being educated in Switzerland and having lived there. What do you think the consequence of that is with regard to this situation? And the follow-up question is, do you think all that goes out the door with a guy like Trump versus what we would have thought Western ideas were for the decades since the end of the World War II? In the nuclear age.
I think the perception of many is it's... And this is not a denigration of Asian people, but I think this the perception of many people when it comes to North Korea is they're funny little yellow people that are nuts. Okay. Yeah. And I am convinced that Kim Il-sung is not, by any stretch of the imagination, nuts. I think he is very cool, very calculating. How else does a young 20-something secure his place in North Korea and maintain it after his father died?
That's right.
You know, and that's what he did. And, you know, it's, his father's allies are one part of it, but if he didn't demonstrate the cold calculations needed to run that country the way it is, he wouldn't be running the country.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
But
do you think that means he has a cooler head than he's letting on?
No, I didn't say he's got a cooler head. I said, you know, he's He's not nuts. He's a megalomaniac. Okay. And he is in power, and he wants to stay in power, and he wants to continue to have his kids stay in power, and he's going to do everything he can to do that. And you see, this is the same thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's in power, and he wants to stay in power. I mean, why is
he in power?
I mean, my God, Tom, he's already got a pack.
Having a whole family being part of the administration, isn't it?
Well, you know, this is as close to a monarchy as I think we've gotten in the last 240 years.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And, you know, I saw a disturbing story in the Washington Post today about a poll that was conducted, and the researchers, they had taken only Republicans that had said they had voted for Trump. And out of that group, they polled them, and two of the questions that they asked them were, do you think we should suspend, if it comes out that illegal immigrants have voted in the election, that we should suspend the 2020 presidential election? 52% said yes.
Right.
Do you believe if Donald Trump and the Republican Congress say that we should suspend the 2020 presidential election? 56% said yes. Now, this is a sign, you know, that we do have some
real
fraying edges of our democracy. If people, you know, I don't know what the number that turns out to be of our entire electorate, but even if we have a segment that size that is thinking we should be suspending presidential elections, the future of our democracy is at stake, truly.
Yeah.
Think about
that. And this is the kind of thing that they accused Barack Obama of going to be doing. Oh, Barack Obama's going to take your guns away, and then he's going to suspend elections forever.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton gets elected, she's going to take your guns away, and she's going to suspend elections. Okay.
And now we have a guy in there that is not taking your guns away, and he's still going to suspend elections. Because he's going to come up, he'll never do that. We know that. But just the idea that people could think it would be acceptable to do that, that's the concern for me, Charles, is that we have a segment of our society, the people living around us, whose recognition of what the world is about that's going on beyond their own eyes is so detached from reality, it's making it hard for us to be a functioning society. And we see it in a variety of ways, how we think we're the leaders of the world, but that's just not the case anymore.
And we should be. And I don't mean we should be a dictatorial leader telling other countries what to do, but we should be the go-to people when people need help.
That's exactly. We're still the wealthiest nation on earth.
And you know, if you ask the average American, should we help those people? They'll say, yeah. You have a minority of people in this country that are jumping up and down and ranting and raving about this thing and that thing and the other thing. Oh, my God, all those illegal aliens coming to the United States and taking jobs. Wait a minute, time out. Who's giving them the jobs?
That's exactly right.
Think about it. Who's giving them the jobs? And if you're really worried about these illegal aliens coming into the United States and taking those jobs, why don't you ask about what those jobs are like? Why don't you ask how much they get paid? Why don't you ask about living in the conditions that they live in?
Often of what immigrants lived 100 years ago in America, because they are at the bottom end of the economic ladder. And it's been immigration that's at the core of what this country is about. And it may be human nature to always want to not have people come in after you're here and your family's here, but that's how this country was founded. I was watching a show the other night about World War II, and it was showing different soldiers. This soldier was the son of an Italian immigrant. This soldier's dad was born in Mexico. This soldier's dad was born in Germany. They were all first-generation Americans. We are, and that was as recently as the 1940s. So we have a country that we assimilate. After a generation or two, there's almost complete assimilation. And we've seen it with every ethnic group there is. And that enthusiasm and energy to come and adapt to this society is what really kind of spurred our growth over the last century. And now we seem to be mired in some weird finger-pointing and delusion that everything is going bad when it's not necessarily the case.
And you know what the funny thing about a lot of that is, Tom, is those people that came over from Germany or Italy or China or wherever, whose firstborn sons went and fought World War II for us, they didn't speak English when they came to this country.
They did not.
They didn't have millions of dollars in their pocket. They didn't have a master's degree or a PhD. They didn't win the Olympics, and they didn't win a Nobel Prize.
That's absolutely
true. And that's what some in this country today are trying to say should be the standard of coming to the United States. And these same people are willing to change the Constitution of the United States and the laws of this land to make it so a person, those people who were born here in the United States that fought in World War II, just because they're born in the United States, you can't be a citizen.
Yep.
So yeah. I got to ask you a question, Tom. If a poor man's wife came to the United States on a visitor's visa and engaged in modeling for pay, worked here in the United States, and then turned around and lied about it on her application for citizenship, what do you think would happen to that poor man's wife?
I would imagine she'd get deported.
There you go.
Now, that's a perfect example. That, how is it that if an immigrant looks a certain way or holds a high-profile type job, we accept them? But if they're ordinary people, like virtually all of our ancestors were, most of them were completely unskilled. Was there a market for unskilled workers 100 years ago much greater than it is today? Yes, but we don't have the same wave of immigration anyway.
Hey, Tom,
so
Tom.
We're not trying to fill the same amount of unskilled jobs with the immigrants that come. But the ones that are taking the jobs you described are ones that are almost like they were 100 years ago.
Tom, I got to correct you on one thing. It's not high-paid jobs, okay? They're not looking for people to come here and get high-paid jobs. They're looking for people to come here and take highly profitable jobs for the company.
That's right.
The company.
Yep.
They don't care what the people doing the work get paid. They just want to make more money off the people coming here. And, Tom, I got to tell you, brother, we're coming up to the end of it. Any final words for us today?
Well, I just hope that this whole issue with North Korea at least stabilizes to the point that people can sleep somewhat peacefully at night in other parts of this planet, if not here, which I think we all do. Secondly, you know, we're going to continue to peel away the layers of that very stinky onion called Trump. And I am interested more and more to see what Mueller does, and I think we hopefully will get to the bottom of the incestuous relationship between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
There you go. Tom, it is always a pleasure. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you again here next week.
Sounds good, Charles. Thanks.
Always a pleasure, brother. And, of course, Alan Kukovich is at an undisclosed location somewhere in the United States. And we look forward to talking to him again soon. Meantime, folks, you can make a difference. Sometimes it's a matter of picking up the phone and calling your congressman and calling your senators and reading them the Riot Act. Sometimes it's other things. All you got to do is stand up. Your voice can quiver, but you got to say something. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.